Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I am going to be speaking to you today from the book of Mark, chapter 15. Mark 15, and our text will come from one verse of Scripture, verse 39, which says, "And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, Truly, this man was the Son of God." Thinking about our Lord's suffering on the cross, thinking about what it took in order for him to pay the sin debt of his people, he had to give his life. That's something to think about. God manifest in the flesh had to give his life. He had to shed his blood. He had to empty the blood out of his body. He had to break his own body in order to put away every sin from every soul that the Father gave to him. That's what it took. As our Lord was accomplishing this, there was a centurion. That's a Roman soldier. A man who had given his life to war and fighting. This was a hard man, a fighting man. A man who had committed himself to carrying out the orders of his wicked superiors. A man who had climbed the ranks. He was successful in what he did. He climbed the ranks and become a captain over 100 men. That's what a centurion was, a captain over 100 men, 100 soldiers. And this centurion quite possibly was one of the ones who physically beat the Lord Jesus Christ, physically abused him. Quite possibly he was one of the ones who actually drove the nails into his hands, into his feet. And it says in verse 39, though, when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost. As this centurion stands there witnessing the lamb slain. That's what he's seeing. That's what he's watching. The lamb slain. He's taking it all in. He's having his eyes opened to literally see Christ crucified, this enemy of the Lord, this man who was at absolute enmity against him. He's standing there watching Christ crucified. He sees the lamb slain. God opens his eyes to see the lamb slain. And it says, when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out, the way that he cried out, he saw that he cried out in all of his power and in all of his glory and in all of his control. The earth was quaking. The rocks were rending. And when he saw that he gave up the ghost, he saw that the ghost, the spirit of life, was not taken from him. He sovereignly gave it up. When he saw Christ sovereignly give it up, the Lord said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." No man took his life from him. He laid it down willingly. And it says, when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, it slayed him. It slayed that centurion. It slayed his hard, hard heart. And he said, this is what he said, as soon as he saw Christ crucified, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." He saw this man. And that's what the gospel is all about. That's what the gospel is all about. And that's what I want us to consider. I want us to see this man. I want us to consider this man. Every man on this earth is just a man. Just a sinful, wicked man. Oh, but this man. That's the gospel. God-given eyes see this man. When God gives eyes to see, those eyes see this man. God-given ears hear this man. A God-given heart believes on this man. Our only hope is in this man. Our only hope. This man is man's only hope, and this is the reason why. If you look with me at Psalm 39, it says in Psalm chapter 39, verse 4, Lord, make me to know mine end. I have an end. You have an end. And David said, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. And then he said, verily, that means truly. Every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Altogether vanity. Vanity means empty. Man at his best state. Vanity means empty. It means worthless. There's no value in man. Nothing good in man. That's what David said. There's nothing worth saving. Nothing worth saving. We're all constantly having to make the decision on whether we're going to keep something or throw it out. You keep things for years and years and years and finally you realize, I'm never going to use this. Sometimes we keep things in the refrigerator too long, and then you have to decide, is it time to throw this out? We assess it, we look at it to see, is there any value in this? Is there anything worth keeping in this? And if we can't find it, we realize the only thing this is good for is to be cast out, thrown out. That's man before God. That's man in the eyes of God. Worthless. No value. Altogether vanity. Altogether vanity. And not only that, not only is man empty, God says man is altogether evil. Not only is he worthless, not only is he bad, not only is he spoiled, ruined, God says he's evil. Look with me at Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis 6, verse 5, it says, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Every imagination, every thought of his heart, it was only evil continually. That's all man was. That's all man is. Only evil continually. Psalm 14, verses 2 and 3 say, The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Men say all the time, now God looked down from heaven, He looked down through time to see if anybody would come to Him and do good things for Him and seek Him. God looked down from heaven, all right. But this is what He said. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That's what God saw. That's what He said. David said in Psalm 116, all men are liars. Lies come out of the mouth of all men and women. They originate in the heart, and out of the heart the mouth speaketh. Lies are not just what we do, it's what we are. He said in Psalm 51, we are all conceived in sin. It's the nature of man's flesh. It's what we are. John 3, verse 19 says, "Light is come into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light." It's just the nature of a man's flesh. It's the nature of all of our flesh. Men love what they are. They love what they are. Now, I'm going to make a statement here, and I want to emphasize it because this is the absolute truth. Committing a sin does not make a man or a woman a sinner. And let me repeat that. Committing a sin does not make a man or a woman a sinner. Men and women commit sin because they already are sinners. That's why we sin. A dog does not bark in order to become a dog. A dog barks because he already is a dog. And committing sin does not cause us to become sinners. It openly evidences what we already are. We commit sin because we're sinners. Sin does not come from without. Sometimes we get the mindset of, well, don't go to that place and don't associate with these things because we need to block out sin. We don't want sin to enter into us. Sin does not come from without. It does not come from without in. It comes from within out. Our Lord is the one who told us that over in Mark chapter 7. If you want to look at it with me, in Mark 7, verse 14, He said, "When He had called all the people unto Him, He said unto them, Hearken unto Me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him." Nothing from without that entering in can defile him. "But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, "Are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man." That's all that man is. That's all that he is. That's all that man can be, because that's all that he is. Sin. Sin. All right, what is our response to this? What is our response to this truth? Here it is. Thank God for the gospel. Thank God for the message of the gospel. Thank God for the simplicity of the message of the gospel. Do you know what the gospel cries? You know what the gospel message is? This man. Oh, but this man. That's the good news. People talk about the good news. Oh, tell me the good news. Here it is. Oh, but this man. This man. That's the heart and the message of the gospel. Come see this man. Do you want to hear some good news? Let me tell you about this man. Now, if you want to hear the horror of the truth, if you want to hear the absolute horror of the truth, then let me tell you about man. All of mankind. As long as I'm telling you about man, it's bad news. It's horrible, horrible truth. But if you want to hear the glory and the beauty of the gospel, let me tell you about this man. Now go with me to a few scriptures and let's see if the Word of God will tell us a little bit about this man. Over in Luke 23, verse 3, it says, "And Pilate asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, Thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priest and to the people, I find no fault in this man." That's what he said. "I find no fault in this man." He said, "This man is perfect. This man is absolutely perfect. The perfect man." There's only one. There's only one. The perfect man. No sin. No guile. Not one stain on his record. Not one blemish in his character. Not one. Not in deed, not in thought, not in heart. This man is perfect. He's perfect. He's kind. He's pure. Out of him proceeds love, grace. That's him. All right, look at verse 21 right here in Luke 23. It says, "But they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him." That's man. That's me and you. That's what mankind says to this perfect, perfect, spotless Lamb of God. Crucify him. Look at verse 34, right here in Luke 23, verse 34. "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's this man. Oh, this man. Verse 39, it says, "One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly." We deserve this. We deserve exactly what we're getting. He said in verse 41, "We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man, oh, but this man hath done nothing amiss." Nothing amiss. We are vile and wicked creatures, but this man is the holy, spotless Lamb of God. That's who this man is. Turn with me over to Hebrews 10. It says in Hebrews 10, verse 1, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect." The law cannot make sinners perfect. I'm a sinner, and you're a sinner. And the law, the commandments, the obedience to the law cannot make us perfect. The law cannot cleanse us. The law cannot make us acceptable in God's eyes. It cannot purge us from our sins. It does not put away one sin. Verse 2 says, "For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience for sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins." It's not possible. Everything in the law points us to this man. That's what it's saying. It represents what this man would do for us. It's not us cleansing ourselves. Everything this law demands tells us what he would do, what he would do for his people. And it says in verse 9, Hebrews 10, verse 9, this is what Christ said. "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. By one offering, this perfect, holy, spotless man offered his perfection to God. He offered all of his sinlessness to God on behalf of his people. He offered it on their behalf, not his own. He offered it on their behalf. And by the one sacrifice of himself, he satisfied what the law demanded of his people. But obeying the law cannot save us, because the law tells us what's required of us, but we can't do it. Therefore, we sin against the law, and the law says you have to die. If you sin against the law, you have to die. It cannot save us. We've sinned against the law. So Christ came, this man came, and by the one offering of himself, he shed his blood, and the law said, I'm satisfied. He offered his perfection to God, and God the Father said, I'm satisfied. Everything is satisfied in the sacrifice of this one man. He paid the debt that was owed, and he took that stony heart out of his people, and he put a brand new sinless heart with a new nature in every one of his people. And then he went and sat down on the right hand of God, and he daily makes intercession for every one of them. Every one of them. Oh, this man, who this man is and what he has done. That's the good news. That's the good news. Not what are you going to do for Jesus. That's not the good news. What has he done for us? That's the good news. All right, now this is the simplest declaration of good news that I know. And I want us to look at this together. Go with me to Luke 15. I absolutely love this portion of Scripture. This is as simply as I know it to be declared. Luke 15, look at the end of verse 2. It says, this man receiveth sinners. That's good news. If you're a sinner, that is good news. That is the gospel. That's what the gospel is. That's who it's to. That's who the declaration of the gospel is to. The gospel is not for the righteous, the self-righteous. It's for sinners. It's for sinners. This man did not come for the righteous. He came for sinners. Sinners are all that we are. But it's the greatest news that could be ever be told to us. This man receives sinners. Verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. They all came drawing near to him. And that's exactly what will happen when a sinner is called to Christ. When the Father draws a sinner to Christ, God will tune that sinner's ear to hear him. He'll hear the most beautiful words of life, the most beautiful words of forgiveness. Instead of do, he will hear done. Instead of work, he will hear rest. Our Lord said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. The problem for man trying to fulfill this law is he's never going to be able to do it. It's a work that'll never stop. Trying to obey the law, it just keeps going and going. There's no end in sight. The work is never finished. The work is never finished. Man thinks something in his mind that he shouldn't have thought, and he knows it. He says, I shouldn't have thought that. I better do something to make it right. Man does something, and then he says, I shouldn't have done that. I better do something to make it right. Man says something. It comes out of his mouth, and he says, I shouldn't have said that. I better do something to make it right. He feels something in his heart, and he thinks, I shouldn't have felt that. I better do something to make it right. And then the good news of the gospel comes to that sinner's heart, and this is what it says. He made it right. He made it right. He put it away. It's taken care of. The sinner cries, "Oh, but I've sinned." The gospel cries, "Yeah, but He took care of it. He paid for it. He made it right." That's what a sinner will cry out. That's what will slay a sinner's heart. That's what will stop a sinner in his tracks and cry, "Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest." There were some soldiers one time, just like the centurion, some hard soldiers that were told to go get Jesus Christ and bring Him to this council. They were going to put an end to Him. And when they went, He was preaching. They heard Him preach. They turned around and walked back to the council and they said, "Why did you come empty-handed?" And He said, the soldiers said, "Because no man ever spake like this man. We're just stopped in our tracks. No man ever spake like this man." Oh, the voice, the power, the authority, the sweetness. We'll never hear the Word of God until we hear the Word of this man. This is the truth. We will never hear the Gospel until we hear the Gospel of this man. Never. Look one more time at our text in Mark chapter 15. It says in verse 39, "And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, 'Truly, truly, this man was the Son of God.'" This man was the Son of God. That's who this man is. That's who the Son of God is. He is the sovereign, successful Savior of sinners. What do we say? Thank God for this man. Thank God for this man, Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let's come to this man. Let's come to Him. He said, "Come to Me." That's the call of the Gospel. That's the draw of the Father. If we come, the Father is drawing us. But let's come to this man. Let's bow before this man. Let's worship this man. Believe on this man and give thanks for this man. Till next week, may the Lord bless His Word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.